6, 5, 4, 3. They can't snap it. They can't stop it. They can't win it. Alabama wins the ball game.
Derrick Thomas, linebacker, Alabama.
He was a nightmare for people that had to try to prepare for him because he had unique skills.
Just go get the quarterback. I felt sorry for some of those poor tackles that came in and had to go against him because they didn't realize what they were getting themselves into.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun.
Son, I got to do that in this.
Lights out.
Sacking the cornerback is just like you devastate a city, or you cream a multitude of people. I mean, it's just like you put all the offensive players in one bag, and I just take a baseball bat and beat on the bag. So each time he came over there, I tried to tear his damn head off.
Let's play some football. Let's play some football.
The pressure is on. This is Off the Edge on Tide 100.9.
Focus on what you want to do, what you want to accomplish. Think about that. Don't think about how you feel, how tired you are, how hot it is. You got to push yourself on the field when you're playing football.
It's my honor to present the National Championship Trophy to Coach Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide.
To me, this is the ultimate team. All these guys bought into everything they needed to do to be the best players that they could be. There's more togetherness on this team than almost any team that we've ever had. And they had to overcome and persevere so much adversity through this season. And they've done it magnificently. And I'm so proud of this group for what they've been able to accomplish in going undefeated and winning the national championship.
Streaming live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and the Tide 100.9 app. Here is your host of Off the Edge, Jacob Harrison.
Hello there. Good morning. Welcome in to Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide sports. Jacob Harrison here with you, digital managing editor of Town Square Media Tuscaloosa. Across from me is Joe Gaither, brand manager of Tide 100.9, Hunter Brantley, Mason Woods behind the glass, helping us out today. And the one and only Deshaun Watson has hijacked the show, because literally just minutes ago, 20 of his 24 cases have been settled out of court and will soon be dismissed. The news was first broken by Jake Trotter saying that all but four of the civil lawsuits against Deshaun Watson had been settled. Very lengthy statement there that, I mean, I didn't have time to read before the show came on. But the terms and the amounts of the settlements will remain confidential, according to Ari Myrov at My Sports Update from PFF. Busby adds, Busby is the attorney. Is Busby against Deshaun or for Deshaun?
Four. He's the defending lawyer.
Okay. Busby adds that the first plaintiff, right, Ashley Solis, and three other plaintiffs are continuing
to move forward. He's the plaintiff lawyer. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
And the NFL's investigation is still ongoing. So much of that,
Rusty Harden is Deshaun Watson, Deshaun's lawyer.
Okay. Much of that that statement that comes from Jake Trotter from Tony Busby, the plaintiff's lawyer, is about this Ashley Solis individual. She was the first one to speak up and try to come forward with this, and she is one of four that are going to continue to pursue. As stated, quote, "As stated, Ashley Solis is one of the heroes of the story. this coming from Jake Trotter and Tony Busby, or Jake Trotter from Tony Busby via Jake Trotter on Twitter. Her case has not settled, and thus her story and that of the other three brave women will continue. I look forward to trying these cases in due course, consistent with other docket obligations and the court's schedule. So, holy crap. we were on the verge of him getting up to 26 cases, and now he's down to four. Now he's down to... Settling implies guilt, does it not?
Traditionally, I mean, it implies guilt or... traditionally, yes. Yes.
I mean, like, so that makes...
Some would argue that it doesn't. Some would argue that it's simpler to settle, cheaper to settle than a long court battle.
But was it not Deshaun Watson's own words that he didn't want to settle, that he wanted to prove the truth in court?
Yes.
Now, sure, in his line of work, he doesn't really have all the time in the world to go through court proceedings and wait out a judgment, plus the NFL's investigation, because he's going to have to deal with the ridicule that comes with that and everything. Because even if he were proven innocent by all accounts, he'd still have to deal with something. If you think Jerry Jeudy doesn't still have to deal with something right now in Denver with people not understanding what his case was really about, you know, you'd be extremely naive. And obviously, like, that pales in comparison to what Deshaun Watson is up against. And to be completely for... I mean, you look back on Kobe. You look back on Ben Roethlisberger. And then you look back on some of the more physical altercations, such as Ray Rice and Greg Hardy and Joe Mixon. And... You know, you see a trend where these guys are able to, in some way, alter perceptions of themselves by being able to be on the field and stay clean, basically. Stay out of the public eye. You know, Ben Roethlisberger completely changed his image. He's more so now, at least in the Pittsburgh eye, is more so seen as, you know, being a dad and a husband and somebody who gives back to the community, you know. It's very easy for Steelers fans to kind of let it go, though, because he was successful. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback on the back end of something that happened very early on in his career. Same thing for Kobe Bryant, right? Change your number, you know, change your hairstyle, come out, be one of the best to ever do it. And a lot of the noise kind of goes away. So with Deshaun Watson, if you're Deshaun, you want the same thing to happen. You want the opportunity to at least be on the field. You're in a new environment on a much better team that, honestly, with you at the helm, has Super Bowl aspirations, because it's got one of the best defenses in the world, the best offensive line in the NFL. There's really no excuse. You know, Amari Cooper on the outside, David Njoku at tight end, Nick Chubb at running back. There's really no excuse for the Browns not to be good if Deshaun Watson is able to play football. Now, that's where you kind of backtrack and you look. The NFL's investigation is still ongoing. Can the NFL do the right thing and suspend this guy for at least a year? If Calvin Ridley gets a full year for betting on a couple of games, if not just one, it was a $1,500 bet. If Calvin Ridley has set out an entire year, what does Deshaun Watson have to sit out?
2 years.
2 years.
Three.
Well, three's...
I know. They're not going to do that. I want him to...
Three would decimate his career.
Right? I want his career decimated.
I get that.
But yes, 2 years should be the right punishment. What it's gonna they're gonna suspend him for 2 years. Then they're gonna plead it down to one, and that's gonna be that.
The most bizarre thing out of all of this is the idea that comes behind playing professional sports. You always hear it. It's a privilege, not a right. It is their job. They do get paid to do this, and you can get fired from your job based off of performance, and a litany of other things when it comes to playing professional sports. But when you reach a certain caliber, sometimes that doesn't always matter. And like the fact of the matter is that one allegation against anybody at a normal 9-to-5 job in this, and you're done. You work in radio and you deal with this, you're done. Doesn't matter what you do, you're done. You're fired. You've got to move on. You've got to find practically something new. Move to another state where nobody knows your name. But when it comes to Deshaun Watson, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And so the NFL has a problem on its hands where it's got a team that has paid this guy $230 million guaranteed over the next handful of years. He's one of the most exciting players on the field, one of the best at his position on a team that could go to the playoffs. And he just settled nearly all of his lawsuits out of court. And if he could settle 20, what's keeping him from settling 4 more? What's keeping him from settling 6 or 7 more? Or however many more that come forward? What's really... Because money is not the issue. Money is not the object that stands in his way. It's the willingness of 4 or 5 other women to take that money. And I'm not saying that they should. Not saying that they shouldn't. They should do whatever's in their best interest. But that all comes back to the fact that this all implies guilt. And when you do things like this, you've kind of earned whatever is coming your way. So... I think 1 year is almost too short because it compares too similarly to Calvin Ridley's suspension, which was handed down swiftly, by the way. And not to mention, if that is the severity of tarnishing, you know, if betting is tarnishing the shield so badly that a guy's got to sit out for an entire year despite being one of the best at his position and yada, yada, yada. Then what's 24 allegations against the guy like Deshaun Watson really worth? I think Hunter's onto it. I think 2 years is not so outlandish. How many years was Michael Vick out of the league? 2 years? I think Vick was out of the league for 2 years.
I think so, yeah. I think you're right.
I mean, Vick actually, you know, went to jail. You know, like he was actually... you know, imprisoned and served his time and then still had to wait. And then when he came back in the league, he had to, you know, sit behind McNabb and then he took over and he played at an MVP level for a year or two. This isn't Colin Kaepernick where you're blackballed out of the league and you got to wait 6 years to even get a tryout.
Mike Vick played for Atlanta last year in Atlanta. It was 2006. He missed 07 and 08, and then he played for Philadelphia in 12 games in 2009.
And that was as the backup kind of wildcat option.
Yeah, he started one game, yes.
Yeah, and then 2010 was kind of his MVP season, I think.
Yep.
So 2 years won't ruin your career, and it won't ruin your reputation. I mean, Mike Vick did a lot to help his reputation. There's still people that hate him, and I guess they're justified in their opinions. But he served his time, came back, and did his thing. Now, Deshaun, if he ever went to prison for any of this, it's not for just 1 year, obviously. But just trying to think of the rational way, like, because this dude's got to serve a suspension. All of this noise that has centered around him, the Browns should not expect him to be their starting quarterback in 2022. They should not. They should have a hard time expecting him to be their quarterback in 2023, to be honest. And the hilarity of it all is the fact that they've got this brilliant team all stacked around nothing. Because if you're Baker Mayfield, you're begging the Carolina Panthers to pull the trigger. I don't care if you suck. Get me out of this town. Get me out of this city. They chose this guy with all of these allegations and basically... just gave the implied guilt signature on all of this. Get me out of town. So is Jacoby Brissett going to be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns in 2022? Sounds like it.
It's looking like it, yeah. Unless Roger Goodell lowers the boom on Deshaun Watson, which ain't no telling what's going to happen with that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's got to. You want to play judge, jury, and execution on everybody? Do it. Now, and the other thing, too, is, like, again, you go back to those domestic violence situations with Greg Hardy and Ray Rice and all those guys, like, served short suspensions, and Goodell got eaten alive for it, right? So he's done a better job in recent years of handling those sorts of things. Honestly, you know, domestic violence situations have gone down, but that doesn't mean that we don't still see instances similar to what happened with Dalvin Cook, where you know, his agent gets out in front of it and kind of squashes the whole thing before anybody even really hears about it, and pleads that Dalvin Cook was actually the victim in the situation. But nonetheless, I mean, the NFL's got more tar on its shield from this than it did from Calvin Ridley, and that's absolutely a fact. So they're going to have a strong decision to make here when it comes to Deshaun Watson. And I don't know if I don't know that settling 20 of your 24 lawsuits helps your argument at all. And I don't think that it should. So, wow. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk with AJ Spur here on Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The Chamber of Commerce of West Alabama will host the annual Celebrate Local event at the Tuscaloosa River Market Tuesday, June 21st from 11 a.m. till 7 p.m. The event is free and open to the public, featuring dozens of retailers and vendors from across West Alabama. Celebrate Local showcases a wide range of products and services. Attendees can shop for a variety of items, including clothing, jewelry, home decor, art, gifts, and more. Several restaurants will also be on hand to offer samples of their most popular entrees. Presented by Tuscaloosa Tourism and Sports. Celebrate Local is a great way to learn more about what our local community has to offer, as it encourages people to think local first. For more info, visit westalabamachamber.com.
My caretaker was very rough with me. I thought they did it because I wasn't moving fast enough.
Elder abuse is a crime, and together we can stop it. If you or someone you know has been abused, neglected, or exploited, call the Adult Abuse Hotline at 1-800-458-7214. That's 1-800-458-7214. Sponsored by the Alabama Department of Human Resources, the Department of Justice, ADECA Grant Number 18-VA-VS-050, the ABA, and this station.
COVID-19 has disrupted our lives, but it won't have the last word. We will. Across Alabama, thousands are getting vaccinated to protect themselves and others. Find out where you can get the COVID vaccine today at alabamaunites.com. Please get vaccinated. If you have symptoms, also get tested for COVID-19. Alabama Unites Against COVID. Sponsored by the ADPH, the ABA, and this station.
Did you know not washing your hands after using the bathroom can increase the spread of hepatitis A? Washing your hands with soap and water, as well as getting vaccinated, is the best way to protect yourself if you are at risk of getting hepatitis A. One dose of the hepatitis A vaccine provides long-lasting protection in up to 95% of those who receive it. For more information on the hepatitis A outbreak in our state, visit alabamapublichealth.gov/IMM. Sponsored by the Alabama Department of Public Health, the ABA, and this station.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Advertised this time of year around 90 degrees, but we will exceed that over the next several days. 96 this afternoon in the partly cloudy skies. Fair skies overnight tonight. The overnight lows are 72. And for tomorrow, plenty of sun. The afternoon high, 97 degrees. I'm meteorologist Bill Murray on Tide 100.9.
It's 91 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The best new analysis in T-Town.
Hey, I got a stat for you.
Off the Edge with Jacob Harrison continues on Tide 100.9.
Miami. South Beach, bringing the heat. Can y'all feel that? Jig it out.
Here I am in the place where I come let go. In Miami, the base and the sunset low. Every day like a Mardi Gras. Everybody party all day. No work, all play, okay? So we sip a little something, leave the rest to spill.
Back here on Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama. Crimson Tide Sports, Jacob Harrison here with you. Joe Gaither as well. Hunter Brantley and Mason Woods behind the glass. It's that time on a Tuesday. Well, we head out to the phone lines and we talk with AJ Spurr, site editor, not freelancer, of Roll Tide, Wire the USA Today, affiliate of the Alabama Crimson Tide, at Spurr FM on the Twitter account. AJ, what's going on, dude?
Dude, you left out his most important credential.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Definitely the guy behind Tua and On.
While we're at it, let's just throw in, too, that apparently I was hitting, quote-unquote hitting, the good stuff. So all that was news to me, but I woke up on the right side of the grass today, and we're another day closer to college football. So no complaints on my end.
Yeah, 74, and this one's just to annoy Joe, 74 Jedrick Wills days away from the Alabama Crimson Tide suiting up against Utah State.
Why do we love that guy?
It was all the yellow that he put on the field. It was good for TV contrast and eyesight. AJ, I don't know if you saw this. I would imagine you have. But literally right as the show started, this thing with Deshaun Watson had its most recent development. 20 of his 24 lawsuits have been settled out of court. You got any reaction to that?
Listen, the NFL is going to do, you know, what the NFL wants to do. With this, it's no longer a criminal matter. He wasn't indicted by a grand jury. The civil suits are still ongoing, or at least four of them are now. Who knows whether those four are going to look to settle out of court or if they're going to want to try and take this all the way to a civil trial. But at the end of the day, the NFL, what they still see are 24 serious allegations, at least serious enough to warrant settlements for 20 of them. And there have been rumors floating around now for the past couple of days of a potential full season suspension, which, you know, I'm far from the judge, jury, or executioner, but Calvin Ridley getting a full season for legally betting on, you know, games he was not playing in, meaning a full year suspension, you know, are we really going to equate these two is what it comes down to. Either lower Ridley's, or if you're going to go ahead and keep the Ridley year-long suspension, you know, maybe you got to think about something a little more harsher for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, the sins of man are not equal under the eyes of the law, and it shouldn't be that way with the NFL as well. I would be blown away if they so quickly came to the resolution to suspend Calvin Ridley for a year and gave Deshaun Watson equal or less than to that time. Hunter suggested 2 years. I think that's ample. I mean, that's practically how long Mike Vick was out of the league. He came back and was able to resurrect his career as much as he possibly could. Now, obviously, what Mike Vick did and what Deshaun Watson is being accused of, those are not on the same plane necessarily at all. But and obviously, Deshaun's not going to serve time because it's not a, like you said, it's not a criminal matter anymore. But nonetheless, you know, I asked Joe right at the top of the show, when you settle out of court, is that not implied guilt, at least to a degree? And to me, it is. So interesting situation all the way around. What I wanted to talk about today, actually, before Deshaun Watson hijacked my show, is damn dirty Browns, was the offensive line recruiting class. It feels like Nick Saban is making a strong effort to right the wrongs of yesteryear, right? I was talking off the air earlier with Mason, you know, because we were hyping up all the guys in this class. You know, Wilkin Formby, the Northridge kid, he commits yesterday. We're talking about Samson Okunlola.
Pancake Honcho.
Pancake Honcho. Give me that. Dude reminds me of Tyron Smith and Caden Proctor, who's a big name in there as well. You know, but when you look at what Nick Saban might be trying to repair, it does kind of bring you back to 2020 when the Brockermeyer bros come in and DJ Ferguson and
All these guys. J.C. Latham is the only one projected to be a starter this year, and even then, like, there's still some worry there. So, do you get the impression, based off of the way the recruiting class is going, that Nick Saban's trying to right those wrongs and maybe get some guys in here that can play offensive line and play it quickly?
You know, I don't think Nick Saban, year in and year out, changes much when it comes to his recruiting pitch. You know, you have an opportunity to learn from one of the greatest coaches, if not the greatest coach, of all time in Nick Saban. You get to be forever affiliated with, you know, the championship program in Tuscaloosa. And, of course, I mean, you got to flaunt all those first-round draft picks and players that Alabama produced and brought into the league. That being said, you know, it can't be swept under the rug, the poor offensive line play from last season and what looked to be, you know, just a little bit better or more of an improvement from last season in this past A-Day game. Caden Proctor has been crystal balled to Iowa for quite some time, obviously narrowing it down now between the Hawkeyes and the Crimson Tide. I don't necessarily think we are going to see him wear Crimson, but when his time comes, I think he's locked in on Iowa. But, you know, getting Wilkin Formby yesterday was big, and I think that will start some sort of a wave for the offensive line. It's difficult because, you know, the fans, especially online, have such a big input on this. I mean, having these, you know, 18, 17-year-old recruits feel the love from a fan base, you know, it's undoubtedly a factor in some of these kids' decisions, especially the ones that really love the spotlight. Offensive linemen are not like that. Not only are they not big fans of the spotlight, but fans themselves don't actually follow or recognize this top-tier talent from high school at the offensive line position. They're more interested in these, you know, top-tier quarterback recruits or these safeties, wide receivers, running back. And, you know, obviously when they get up to the collegiate level, that's when people start appreciating them a little bit more. But, you know, to answer your question, I don't think much is going to change in the recruiting pitch or what Nick Saban prioritizes on the recruiting trail. I think he's still going to try and go get the best talent available at any given position that he's looking to fill.
And speaking of best possible talent, how about the number one guy in the country, regardless of position, that being Arch Manning? A couple of days ago, you guys covered it over at Roll Tide Wire. Will Randall, 3-star tight end that plays high school ball with one Arch Manning. He's committed to Texas, and all the same schools that are on Arch Manning's list, they were on Randall's list as well. Do you think there's any kind of ties there where Randall's decision may be a precursor to Manning's as well?
I think we could sit here and you know, talk about that. Undoubtedly, there's a strong connection between the two that all these programs and their head recruiters were able to notice so that they would offer this kid. I mean, we're talking about, you said he's a 3-star tight end. He's a good prospect. I'm not, you know, speaking down on him as a player, but let's be honest, if Arch Manning was not, you know, in play, would he have still received offers from Alabama or Texas or any other school that is, you know, reportedly in on Arch Manning at this time? And is this a precursor to an Arch Manning, you know, commitment to Texas? I don't think so at all. I think this is some sort of red herring or, you know, incidental red herring. I don't think that this was a calculated move. I think, you know, the commit to Texas was what he wanted to do. And if there's one thing I've learned throughout this process is that you can't take any rumors, you know, below face value.
Especially with Arch Manning.
What's up?
I said, especially with Arch Manning.
Yes, especially with Arch Manning. Because I, at one point, wrote a story based on a rumor from a blue check that said, you know, he's down to 3 schools. And I wake up the next morning to a direct message from a family member of his that said, not only is that not true, the list has grown of prospective schools. So I think...
Wait, AJ's talking to the Mannings?
Oh, yeah. He's got connections.
Daggone. You get the good guess. Go ahead, JJ. I'm sorry.
I think Randall's decision was made on his own, irrespective of what Manning is thinking or, you know, might do. I don't even know if he's talking to his fellow teammates about this thought process. It seems to me like a very in-house, family-oriented, all-arch decision, you know. So Longhorns fans, go and get excited if you want. I don't know if you have that Sam Ellinger, we're back, you know, sound bite, because I would love to hear that. But no, I don't think that this means absolutely anything when it comes to Arch Manning's, you know, inevitable commitment down the road.
Yeah, I think you alluded to it a little bit earlier is, you know, this guy may not be getting these kind of offers without Arch Manning's help. So maybe it's the other way around. Maybe this is Texas, you know, really pressing the gas on one of his teammates to try to, you know, tug at Arch just a tad bit more. I think they are leading as far as many of the crystal balls go. But maybe it's more on Texas's side, or maybe it is as simple as you've said. It's just Will Randall doing what Will Randall wants to do. And really and truly, that's what it should be all about for any of these kids when it comes to their recruiting. Talking with AJ Spurr, the site editor of Roll Tide, Wire USA Today affiliate of the Alabama Crimson Tide, at Spurr FM on the Twitter account. You're on Off the Edge. I'm Jacob Harrison. This is Tide 100.9. The SEC scheduling debacle. Last we spoke, we talked about how we would prefer the scheduling to be. Well, at the spring meetings, it came down to it. A vote, 8-14. These coaches decide that they want to stay with an 8-game schedule. And this has to be one of the weakest quotes I've ever heard. And I really like Mark Stoops. I do.
Hello.
But you got us, AJ? I think we lost AJ.
Give him a call back, yeah, Hunter.
Y'all give him a call back. We'll try to reconnect with AJ. But where I'm going with this is Mark Stoops saying the reason being that these coaches have voted the way that they have is a lot of us have crossover games, South Carolina and Clemson. We, being Kentucky, have Louisville, and we want to keep that. To play 9 conference games in Louisville, that's tough.
Aww.
Oh, boo-hoo. Cry, baby, cry, baby, cry.
He went on to talk about, oh, half of us get fired every year, yada, yada, yada. Like, dude, just be better. Just raise the level of your own program. And, you know, play the 9 games and give your fan base the Louisville game. And, you know, wow, we've got a really great schedule to talk about now.
Yeah, and how many of those years are you going to get Mississippi State? Is Mississippi State and Louisville, like, the end of the world for you? Come on, dude. Come on. Do we got AJ back? No, not yet. So that is the weakest thing. And when you're efforting to be better, right? If you're Kentucky, what you should want, what Mark Stoops should want, is the opportunity to play better talent and to win those games, right? You don't just want everything to ride on how your trips to Gainesville and Athens go, right? You want the opportunity to win meaningful football games. And if that means having to play Alabama and Louisville in the same year, or Auburn and Louisville in the same year, then go for it. Then do it. Don't sit back and cry and say that's tough. Because you know who's not crying about the schedule and how tough it is? Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson. These are schools that are not Oklahoma, U.S. Like, they're not going to complain, oh, that's hard. You want to be like Auburn and say, oh, no, we have to play Georgia and Alabama twice in a year, well, or back-to-back. Guess what? When you pull it off, then you are worthy of your high ranking when you do it. You have to earn what you get. Otherwise, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Tennis, and any of the 8 coaches that voted in favor of this, and they're all the bottom dwellers. This is Eli Drinkwitz. This is Shane Beamer. This is Mark Stoops, apparently. You know, Mike Leach, Lane Kiffin, Clark Lee. These are the guys voting for this type of thing because they don't want the competition. Whereas Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, Jimbo Fisher, those are part of your 6. that voted in favor of this, saying, yeah, bring it on. Let's go to war. My guys, your guys, I win. Some confidence behind that. Let's get back out to the hotline. I think we got AJ connected now. AJ, we're talking about the 8-game schedule being kept in play out of the SEC spring meetings, the coaches of the SEC voting 8-14 in favor of keeping it at 8, and one of those reasons being quoted from Mark Stoops, and I think this is a really weak quote from him, who I consider to be a really strong head coach, the reason being a lot of us have crossover games, South Carolina and Clemson. We have Louisville being Kentucky, and we want to keep that to play 9 conference games in Louisville. That's tough. What do you think when you hear a strong-minded head coach who's bringing Kentucky out of the depths football-wise saying, no, it's too hard?
Well, you say strong-minded, but evidently not strong-willed if that's the case. The SEC is the SEC for a reason. You know, I mean, you mentioned it right as I got back on here, which, first of all, you keep mentioning two-and-on. They're going to get into your phone lines and everything, and this is just going to keep happening.
They're welcome here. They're absolutely welcome here.
You are welcome here.
Listen, you want an easier schedule. Not to say that the status quo is easy, but if you want to compete with the best of the best, which a majority of the best reside within the SEC, you're going to have to do something to boost up that resume. I mean, look at South Carolina. Obviously, they have to play Georgia. Are they likely going to beat Georgia on a yearly basis? No. Okay? So if they can't beat Georgia, you got to give them something else, another team, another opportunity to play against one of those bigger, stronger teams to boost their resume in conference. So if they're content with where they're at now as a program, then sure, go for it. Keeping it at 8 games right now isn't hurting Alabama. It's not hurting Georgia, Texas A&M, LSU. It's going to hurt those programs that are toward the middle or on the lower side of the middle tier in this conference that want to compete. And this one extra in-conference game would definitely give them that opportunity to prove themselves worthy of being a competitive program.
AJ, I know you're excited for the return of EA Sports College Football Video Game. I don't know if you saw this or not, because it's hard to get news when it comes to this game. So many people have been making up rumors for years and years and years. But it was announced just the other day. Next July 2023 is when we're finally going to get our hands on this game, and they're hoping to have realistic rosters in there by taking advantage of NIL. So far, I think something like 120 schools have approved the use of their image and so on and so forth. You know, it looks like they're trying to bring back, you know, our childhood with this game, and they're also going to pay these schools in tiers based off of how often you have finished in the top 25 over like the past 5 over the past 10 years. So tier 1 gets 105 or basically 105 grand, tier 2 gets 63 grand, tier 3 gets 42 grand, and finally the final tier gets like 10.5 grand to be in the game. So you're what you bring to the table is what you get out of it. But thoughts on any of that or anything else you've seen considering the video game that we've waited entirely way too long on?
Well, no, I'm hoping that they'll have these realistic rosters, and I'm hoping this game, you know, lives up to the expectation. Obviously, just having it is going to be good enough for most people, but actually having a solid game, in my opinion, is more important than just having it back at all. The last thing we want is for this thing to be rushed and people to, you know, buy it, have it flying off the shelves, and then you get home and you're just disappointed with it. One big thing with NIL that I like personally more, just because it's tangible, is this new NIL deal that Topps and other trading card companies are doing with individual players and collegiate programs. I'm a big trading card collector. So, you know, having a, you know, Will Anderson, you know, autographed 1 of 30 trading card out there gets me excited, because I'll definitely be spending money on that. Whereas I might wait a little bit longer to see how people feel about this this game coming out in July 2023 before I actually go out and buy it.
no doubt about it. And I mean, thinking about if they are able to secure legitimate rosters, I mean, the Alabama Crimson Tide that you're looking to play with in July of 2023,
Jalen Milroe,
Dallas Turner. Let's go. Sounds like a lot of fun. And on top of that, I mean, I said this one when it was first announced that it was coming back. Playing against the Bulldogs ain't going to be easy because Brock Bowers is going to be an absolute stud in that game. AJ, you know, we've joked about Tuanon enough. It's time to get real and talk business. Dan Orlovsky got kicked out of Tuanon. He lost his credentials. What's up, man? What, you know, you getting mad at Dan for talking about other quarterbacks under 25?
What did he say? I didn't see exactly what he said.
Yes, you did, but tell him anyways, Jacob. Tell him anyways, because he wants to hold up this facade. That's fine.
Mr. Orlovsky lost his credentials because of a tweet from 4 hours ago in which he named the top five quarterbacks 25 or younger in order, and from 5-1, it is Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow.
He left off Justin Fields, too?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Having Trevor Lawrence on that list immediately delegitimizes it for me. There's too much Tua slander. I actually, in all honesty, did not see that tweet. And it's because there's too much Tua slander going on online. There's all this, you know, there's a narrative that's got to be pushed. There's reputations that have to be protected. Orlovsky's a very outspoken supporter of Tua. However, you know, he has to pander a little bit to the masses, and the masses in this case hate Tua Tagovailoa. I hate the list, honestly. I'm not saying Tua is a top three, you know, quarterback under 25, but come on. I mean, what did T-Law do in this past season? Sure, he had Urban Meyer. ETN was out for the season, and the Jaguars overall as a franchise, it's hard to win with. But you know, did T-Law really do too much to bump him over Tua? I'm posing that question.
I wouldn't say so. I would have Mac Jones at 4, and I would have Tua at 5. I would probably put Justin Fields at 6. Justin Fields has the same problem as Trevor has. The team around him did him no favors. Like you know that he's good.
I'm not sitting here taking your time to argue for Justin Fields, but Mac Jones over Tua Tagovailoa, like
geez, in the NFL, yes.
Oh my yes. gosh.
Jacob, out there in Bryant-Denny Stadium, no thank you.
You got to go back and watch some of these Patriots-Dolphins games. First of all, Tua undefeated against the Patriots. I just want to throw that
Jacob's
out
over there. Here just scooping mayo into his mouth.
Also, if I may add, Jacob, I think would you have T-Law over Fields?
No.
In the one you just had?
No, I wouldn't. They would be fighting for 6, but I think I would have Fields above Lawrence.
No, I'd have Fields in the top 5. I'd have Fields at 5.
That a boy. AJ, can I take a question to spin off, you know, NHL hockey, big time Stanley Cup finals, spurred this question. Earlier today, we were watching highlights, and obviously they got physical last night. A couple fights got me thinking. Mason Woods, one of our producers, was asking, we should have legal fighting in every sport. And if legal fighting were happening in every sport, you know, in college football this year, who would be the designated enforcer for this Alabama Crimson Tide team? Your Achilles that has to go out and represent the Tide, lay down the law if things aren't going right. He's ripping helmets off and actually gonna beat some guys up NHL hockey style. You got a lot of great choices on the 85 man roster. Who is AJ Spurs, big time defender of the Tide?
All right, I'm going to say Will Anderson. I feel like, to me, that's the obvious choice. But if we want to protect him, keep him safe from injury, and I hope none of these players get injured, if it's not Will Anderson, Cameron Latu is a big dude. I would feel comfortable having Latu out there representing us in a fist fight on the 50-yard line against anybody on our regular season schedule right now.
I think that's fair.
I do too.
I like staying away from Will Anderson on this. I think
you never throw the star out for the fight,
right? I mean, Sidney Crosby ain't getting in fights, y'all. Like, it kind of is what it is. But I will say, I like Cameron Law, too, as a name that crossed my mind. I really like Joe's mention of Tim Smith. I think he's got a lot of big dog in him, but I think we're all leaving out the most obvious answer. Is Javion Cohen. Javion Cohen would wreck some dudes if... No, I can't go. It's Javion Cohen or bust for me.
Who would you? You have to pick three players to protect. Let's say there's a fight. It's a brawl. Both rosters, everyone on the sideline, they meet in the middle. You have to pick three players to protect. Who are you protecting?
I'm not throwing Bryce Young out there. I'm not throwing Will Anderson out there. I'm not throwing
Jahmyr Gibbs.
No, we got plenty of running backs. If he dies, he dies.
There's an obvious choice here.
It's Will Reichert.
There you go.
I'm protecting Will Reichert, Bryce Young, and Will Anderson.
There you go. I like it. The three stars from the three phases of the game. That's how you do it.
If he dies, he dies.
Finish it.
Sorry, Jahmyr. I tried to stick up for you, my guy. Oh, AJ, man, it was a lot of fun, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk with you next week, all right?
Of course. Sounds good, boss. I appreciate y'all for having me on.
Absolutely. At Spur FM on the Twitter account, site editor of Roll Tide Wire the USA Today, affiliate of the Alabama Crimson Tide. We'll take a break. Come back here on Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Tide 100.9.
Where on earth did he come from?
Present Movies in the Park.
Take good care of that old yellow dog.
It all happens at Government Plaza on Saturday nights for free. So be sure to bring lawn chairs, blankets, coolers, but no alcohol. Food trucks will be on site. All brought to you by Pepsi, Tuscaloosa Tourism and Sports, and First Baptist Church of Tuscaloosa. This Saturday, June 25th, featuring the movie Old Yeller.
Try it again, sister. Old Yeller will bust you wide open.
For more details and full movie lineups, swipe open the free Tuscaloosa Thread app. The Chamber of Commerce of West Alabama will host the annual Celebrate Local event at the Tuscaloosa River Market Tuesday, June 21st from 11 a.m. till 7 p.m. The event is free and open to the public, featuring dozens of retailers and vendors from across West Alabama. Celebrate Local showcases a wide range of products and services. Attendees can shop for a variety of items, including clothing, jewelry, home decor, art, gifts, and more. Several restaurants will also be on hand to offer samples of their most popular entrees. Presented by Tuscaloosa Tourism and Sports. Celebrate Local is a great way to learn more about what our local community has to offer, as it encourages people to think local first. For more info, visit westalabamachamber.com.
I can go from 0 to 60 way too fast.
Who knew electric vehicle owners were having so much fun?
20 or 30 years ago, I owned a gas sports car, and this car is much quicker.
It's a great, fun car to drive. When you put your foot on the accelerator, it just goes.
They're fun, they're fast, they're efficient.
Visit driveelectricalabama.com to learn how you can start having fun driving an electric vehicle.
Sponsored by the Alabama Clean Fuels Coalition, the ABA, and this station.
Did you know not washing your hands after using the bathroom can increase the spread of hepatitis A? Washing your hands with soap and water, as well as getting vaccinated, is the best way to protect yourself if you are at risk of getting hepatitis A. One dose of the hepatitis A vaccine provides long-lasting protection in up to 95% of those who receive it. For more information on the hepatitis A outbreak in our state, visit alabamapublichealth.gov/IMM. Sponsored by the Alabama Department of Public Health, the ABA, and this station.
Wait. You're listening to Off the Edge on Tide 100.9.
back here on Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Jacob Harrison, Joe Gaither, Hunter Brantley, Mason Woods. Hunter, you are of legal drinking age, are you not?
Barely.
I am, yes.
Barely. How long have you been 21?
Since November 27th, so the Iron Bowl.
Okay. Ample opportunity to fairly be able to answer this question legally on the air, so no FCC violations will be made here. You and five of your best friends, your five best drinking buddies, if you partake, I assume you do.
Yes. For sure.
Delivery. He learned something from Will last, or from Nathan last week. Delivery. I give you 3 hours. How many Jell-O shots can you guys knock back?
Oh, man.
I have some friends that they could probably take 50 in a 3 hour sitting. I could probably only take maybe 10, to be honest with you. I'm between lightweight and middleweight, not going to lie. I don't know about you.
At least you got to be honest about it.
Very honest about it. Well, 160. Could you six beat 160? You're not on. You turned your mic off.
A little slip on the button right there. Yeah. He said probably not, though.
Probably not. How about... So that was Stanford at the College World Series Jell-O Shot Challenge. Stanford hit 160. A&M came second to last. These are not in order. Ole Miss came in second with 5,428 Jell-O
Hotty
shots.
Hotty toddy, gosh almighty.
Arkansas, the Razorbacks.
Woo!
They get it. 6,526 Jell-O shots at the Rocco's Jell-O Shot Challenge at the College World Series. These things are $4.50 each. $4,500 bill right here for Arkansas. Good grief. That's all the time we got.
That's why they lost yesterday. The whole team was hungover.
Well, I don't know if the players drank. The fans were
all hands on deck. Though. All hands on deck.
That's all the time we got for today. The Jay Barker Show is coming up next. Y'all stick around on Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Advertised this time of year around 90 degrees, but we will exceed that over the next several days. 96 this afternoon under partly cloudy skies. Fair skies overnight tonight. The overnight low near 72. And for tomorrow, plenty of sun. The afternoon high, 97 degrees. I'm meteorologist Bill Murray on Tide 100.9.
It's 91 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Follow Off the Edge on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube for live streams and instant analysis. Off the Edge with Jacob Harrison continues.